Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen. Someone say, I'm going with Jesus. Great. Good morning, everyone. If you have your brochure, your brochure here, we just want to remind you that next Sunday is a membership meeting immediately after church. And we're excited about what God's doing here. We got Family Day Outreach coming up and on June 28th, and of course, Worship on the Water. We're going to be involved in that and having meetings to prepare our hearts for all of that. Amen. And so we're excited. You guys look great, as Rachel said. I say it again. Amen. And wow, so awesome. Hallelujah. Amen. I see a few hats. I see Leticia with a hat. We used to have Mother's Day. They used to come in with these incredible hats, man, just sporting. Amen. And well, Leticia, I'm glad you're representing. Amen. Good to see you. God's good. Are you ready for a word from heaven? Amen. I'm excited to share this word. It's been just cooking in my heart, and I want you to just read a couple scriptures. I'm going to read a couple scriptures with you this morning. I want you to focus on, and listen to what it says. It says in verse 33. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Verse 34, listen to what Mary said. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And here's the response of the angel. And the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And verse 36, this is how God, you know, really, really secures earth. And mothers is a call of God to a spiritual mission of the highest order of human character. Listen to this. Motherhood is a mission. In fact, motherhood is one of the most valuable mission fields in the world. Mothers and fathers, and especially mothers, you're not just house moms, you're home engineers, you're home teachers, you're home chefs, you're home pastors, you're home preachers to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to your children. Come on, moms, can I get a big amen? Now let me brag about a little more about mothers. Now, how many here know that in all athletics and NBA, whatever it is in sports, whenever they're on the camera, what often do they say? Hi, Mom. What's up with that, Pastor Pag? Hi, Mom. It's like we get dissed in the athletic field. You know why? Because Mom is always there. Amen? Mom is omniscient. She knows everything. Amen? Mom is omnipresent. She's always there. Mom is omnipotent. She's all powerful. Amen. How many know back in the day your mother would take a shoe off, right? Miriam will tell you, mother, take a shoe off. I don't know how many here, but my mother made me eat soap once when I said a bad word. Amen. Anybody eat soap before? Me and Pastor Pat's right. Listen, we didn't need Ritalin. We got the belt. Come on, somebody. The old-fashioned bell, that straightened you right up. We had the fear of Daddy coming home. I know that when I got in trouble, I only wanted my mother to know and nobody else. Amen? Because my mother would cover me. Hallelujah. But listen to this. Just think about this. You see, mothers are greater superheroes than Superman, Superwoman, Flash Gordon. Amen. They're greater than Batman, Robin, Captain America, Speed Racer, Gigantor, and even Underdog. Amen. Mothers are greater than heroes than Spider-Man, the Bionic Man, the Hulk, Ninja Turtles, Power Rangers, the X-Men, Iron Man, and the Transformers. And don't you dare forget that mothers are even more powerful than Popeye the Sailor Man. Come on, moms! Hallelujah. So let me share a couple of testimonies of people who influenced the world because of the influence of their mother. Abraham Lincoln said, no one is poor who has a godly mother. Listen to this. A London editor submitted to Winston Churchill for his approval a list of all those who had been Churchill's teachers. Churchill returned the list with this comment. You have neglected to mention the greatest of all teachers, my mother. A Spanish proverb says this, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. Or I would say an ounce of mother is better than a pound of arroz con pollo. Amen? Myra cooked me a mirror of arroz con pollo yesterday. We installed the door at her house and man, we threw down last night. Anyway, a Jewish proverb says this, God could not be everywhere and therefore he created moms. Woo, come on. American proverb may say it best, a child without a mother is like a door without a knob. And so let me give all of you fathers out there a tip on Mother's Day shopping. Miriam's not in here. She's in children's church. So I'll be shopping later. I got to tell you, it's difficult for dads. At least I have a difficult time. Let me tell you why. Here it is. You ready? Here it is. Here's to fathers. Ready? Don't buy anything that involves weight loss or self-improvement. She'll perceive a six-month membership to a fitness club or an exercise machine will suggest that she's overweight and out of shape and you'll have a rough day. Listen to this. Don't spend too much because she may say, how do you think we're going to afford that? Or if you spend too little, she won't say anything. She'll just think, is that all I'm worth? How about this? Jewelry. Finally, don't buy jewelry. The jewelry your wife wants, you can't afford. And the jewelry you can afford, she don't want. Ouch! Amen? Listen, mothers have a remarkable way of helping their husband stay humble. A man just finished his book entitled Man of the House. While making his commute home from work, when he reached home, he stormed into the house and walked directly up to his wife, pointing his finger in her face and said, from now on, I want you to know that I am the man of the house and my word is law. You are to prepare me a gourmet meal tonight, and when I'm finished eating my meal, I expect a sumptuous dessert afterwards. Then after dinner, you're going to draw me a bath so I can relax. And when I'm finished with my bath, guess who's going to dress me and comb my hair? And the wife replied, the funeral director, I guess. Woo! Amen. A note from a young little girl, a 9-year-old little girl, to her mother. Dear mother, I wish Mother's Day wasn't always on Sunday. It would be better if it was on Monday so we don't have to go to school. Amen to that. Hallelujah. All of you mothers deserve a national holiday. Come on, am I right? So listen, I want to focus, listen, this morning, because the most chosen anointed mother in the Bible, and I will say in the history of creation, who raised up a miracle maker is Mary. And one of the expressions of a woman who is pregnant, because Mary expected this, and I believe mothers expect this because it's called expecting. When you're pregnant, it's called she's expecting. Amen? Hey, fathers, can I just give you a little encouragement? If you're at a cashier and you see a woman who's a little chubby here, don't ask if she's pregnant. Has anybody ever done that? I did it once. We'll never do it again. Hallelujah. Anyway, one of the expressions of a woman who's pregnant, she's expecting. And think of this. Mary had the inner strength to expect the unexpected, to expect divine delays, to expect seasons of setbacks, but especially Mary had the inner strength to believe and to expect that God will always come through. Come on, somebody. Amen. He'll always come through. You know what hope is? Hope is the expectation that God will come through. That's what hope is. And Mary had that hope in her journey. In other words, you can expect God's preparing you for a miracle in your house, a miracle in your family. Can I get an amen? I'm believing that. My mother believed it. And I'm preaching here today because my mother prayed for me. Amen? Hallelujah. I love that song. My mother prayed for me, had me on my mind, amen? She took the time and prayed for me. Hallelujah. Somebody prayed for you. Glory to God. So some of you here are probably going through it, you know, because we all go through it, especially the time that we live in, even in Long Island. And some of you have been going through an unexpected situation. Some of you have been going through a financial burden and even some setbacks. Or you may feel overwhelmed by the pressures of life. Mothers often feel Listen to this, moms, and you know this, they often feel wounded and all alone. They often feel worried and financially in need. And mothers often feel weak and worn out, and they feel like quitting. But here's the good news. Some of you are about to be surprised by an unexpected answer to prayer. Hallelujah. And some of you are about to be blessed. You know why? Because you prayed and refused to give up in the storm. And you're in Luke chapter 1. And God is preparing a miracle for you and your family. Give them some love. Now let's continue to look at Mary's miracle journey. In verse 31, capture this, and we focused a little bit on that. In Luke 1, verse 31, Gabriel says to Mary, "You will conceive." Then in verse 34, Mary says, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Verse 37, so powerful, it says, "For with God, Mary, nothing shall be impossible." In other words, Mary, you're going to have a nothing impossible family. That all things are possible to those who believe. Hallelujah, amen? And today I just want to look at a couple of attributes in Mary's life that produced a nothing impossible family. And I want you to follow me. If you got a pen or something, you could just take notes for a few minutes. But here's what I want to share with you. Number one, I want to look at the first attribute that stands out in Mary's miracle making of motherhood. Here it is. Number one, the submission of Mary's will. Can I say that again? The submission of Mary's will. Now, watch this. The submission of Mary's will became the submission of Jesus' will. And this is powerful, what takes place. It really does. Sometimes we don't remember that Jesus had to learn submission. Jesus had to learn obedience. The Bible tells us that. Now, what did Mary say when the angel announced, "Mary, you will give birth to the Son of God and you will need to go see your cousin Elizabeth"? Verse 38, it says this. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word." Now watch this. What produces faith in your heart to believe for your family's miracle? What produces faith? You know what produces faith? Submission to God's word and God's will always will produce faith in your life and your miracles for tomorrow. Always, when you submit to God and trust God. And listen to this truth. When you consume the Word of God and embrace the will of God, you will always experience the wonders of God. Come on, somebody. Amen? Let me say that again. I think you have it up there, Andy. I'm not sure. When you consume the Word of God and embrace the will of God, you'll always experience the wonders of God. And Mary certainly experienced the wonders of God. Amen? Now, how did Mary respond to the angel's call? Now, listen what she says. I already said it, but listen again. Verse 38, after she's told this, after she expressed her heart, she says, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord." And she just was surrendering. But here's the key. The word maidservant in the Greek means doll. And the word doll means a bondservant girl. That's what it means. And a servant is this. You know this. We'll speak more about this in leadership. A servant is one who advances others at the expense of themselves and has submitted their rights to God and is at the total service of the master. Let me say it again. It says, a servant is one who advances others at the expense of themselves. They have submitted their rights to God and is at the total service of their master. And Mary boldly and securely claimed, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord." Amen? That's humility. And God said, "I could use her." Now watch this in verse 35. And the angel answered her and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God now indeed." Now watch this. "And for with God nothing is impossible, Mary." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word." That was it. You know what happened after that? The angel departed. Done. I've got one. Let it be according to your word. Amen? When you surrender to the will of God and to the word of God, I want to tell you, wonders happen. You know, we've watched, and Pastor Pat, you've watched this, and over the years we've been involved in the ministry, we had a man that came to our outreach. We'll call him Richie. I'm forgetting his name, Richie. And Richie brought his daughter to our outreach, our Teen Challenge outreach on a Friday night. And so we encouraged him, and he was just a machine shop worker, that's all. Actually, he was retired. I don't know how old he was. He was probably close to 60 years old or 57 or 58 being retired as a machine shop operator. So we said, why don't you bring her Sunday? And then we said it again, and can you bring her another church? Another time. And he would faithfully bring his daughter. You know what took place? You know what happened to Richard? His daughter got in a program, and every single time the door was open, Rich was there. Every single time the door was open, Rich was there. His wife had passed away, and something happened. Amen? God connected to him. You know what happened to him? He became a volunteer. He said, can I clean the bathrooms? He cleaned the bathrooms. He became a deacon. He became an elder. And then the next following year, guess where he went? He enrolled in Central Bible College, my alma mater, Dominique's alma mater, Diane's alma mater. He went to a Bible college. He never had a college degree. He got a college degree. He's an ordained minister today, and he's about 65, and he married a 45-year-old. I don't know what goes on here. Do you hear what I'm saying? When you surrender to the will of God, you'll embrace and see the wonders of God. So check this out. We often tend to think those who do wonders for God are born with great abilities. Now here's what God's looking for. Don't miss this. God isn't looking for ability. He's looking for usability and availability. Amen? Let me say it again. God isn't looking for ability. He's looking for usability and availability. There was a song that I'm sure all of you have remembered. It rang throughout the churches all over country and if not the world by Brooklyn Tabernacle. And it was a Mary song too. And it needs to be our song. You know what it was? If you can use anyone, Lord, you can use me. Amen? And that was a powerful, powerful song. Every time I sang, I said, Lord, let it be. Amen? And so let me show you how Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. This is so awesome. And became a miracle maker. Watch this. In Luke chapter 2, we go further. Jesus is born, and we think he's about 12 years old. We're not sure. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. Someone say subject. Here is the God of the universe coming under his mother. Are you hearing this? And it says he was subject to him. Remember what he was doing. He was just hanging out with the Pharisees, man. He was playing Jeopardy with them. He was just listening to them, you know, Wheel of Fortune. He was just challenging them, 12 years old, rocking with the Pharisees. Amen? And so he was subject to him. But Mary's mother kept all these things in her heart. And then it says this. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and men. Do you remember what the angel said? Said what? Mary is highly favored. We see that favor transform and transcending into Jesus' heart. Do you see how incredibly important the mothers are? Now, how did Jesus grow in wisdom and stature? What? And become a miracle worker. He learned the power, don't miss this, and the principle of submission. Now, when we hear the word submission, some people just cringe at it. Amen? We're in counseling, marriage counseling, and we read a scripture. It's found in Ephesians chapter 5, around verse 20. And as Miriam and I are counseling women, husbands, and wives, it says, wives, submit to your husband. Oh no. Oh no. Are you married yet? we kind of use a synonym. You know the synonym we use, Pastor? We use, embrace the will of your husband. Does that sound better, ladies? That's good, Mary. Amen. But let's look at the word submission. It's such a powerful word. If you want the glory of God and to excel in your God-given gifts, you've got to understand what submission is. Submission is a compound word. Submission. Watch this. Sub means to come under. Mission means sent out to perform a special duty. And when you combine both, it becomes submission. And don't miss this. Don't miss this. If you don't get to your submission, you'll never get to your above mission. Someone say, that's good. That's good, it is. If you don't get to your submission, you'll never get to your above mission. And I've had the privilege of being on the national board of directors for the entire country of Teen Challenge. How did I get there? By submitting my will to God's will, my will to my leader's will. Amen? And don't forget this. Sub means to come under. Mission means sent out with authority to perform a special duty. Let me say it again. Sub means to come under. Mission sent out with authority to perform a special duty. Here it is. If you don't get your sub authority, you'll never get your above authority. Are you getting this? And if you don't get to your submission, you'll never get to your above mission. Jesus had to learn submission so he could receive his above mission. And the submission of Mary's will became the submission of Jesus' will. And 21 years later, this will be tested in Gethsemane when Jesus said, not my will, but thou be done. Come on, hallelujah. And that's what Mary taught her son. Amen? You know, I've learned a few things in life, you know, because some realities, you know, I've learned. When you get older, you get colder. I've learned it. We talked about that. When you get older, you get colder. And when you get older, you get colder. And number two, when you get older, your attitude gets smaller. I've learned that. You don't fight about things. You're not as dogmatic as you were. And don't get me wrong. You got to have convictions. And I learned a divine truth about attitude getting small. I've learned this divine truth. You ready? The smaller we are, the more room God will have in our lives. Woo, come on, somebody. That's some good stuff. Now, what gives birth to your miracle family? Submission to the will of God for your life. Submission of my will to God's will, I will raise up miracle workers in your family. Amen? Now, we looked at submission to Mary's will, became the submission of Jesus' will. Let me point out the next incredible attribute of Mary's life in making a miracle maker. Now, number two is the sacrifice of Mary's life. The submission of Mary, not a sacrifice of Mary's life. The sacrifice of Mary's life became the sacrifice of Jesus' life. Now, what did Mary do after she said with her mouth, be it unto me, Lord, according to your word? What did Mary do? Right after, I'll show you. And that's verse 38. Verse 39, it says, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. What does that mean, haste? It means with diligence to accomplish something. She knew she had to go see Elizabeth. She was preparing for motherhood. To conceive from God. Now, I don't know how to handle that. I don't know how she handled it, but we can see through the scriptures. Now, why is this so significant? Because life is all about godly choices. Life is all about godly choices. And how does a sacrificed soul produce a miracle family? Watch. Because Mary sacrificed her reputation in order to establish God's reputation. That's good. Can I say it again? Mary, listen to this, Mary sacrificed her reputation in order to establish God's reputation. Think about this. Mary would be an unwed mother and who would believe her story? Listen to this. Mary needed a surrendered heart of faith to face Joseph and deal with his shock and rejection when he tells her, I'm pregnant. You getting this? Mary would face the threat of being stoned to death for committing adultery. Now, how did Mary sacrifice her reputation? Mary submitted and sacrificed her will for God's will. Listen, she chose to obey God regardless of the consequences. That's called conviction, amen? Hallelujah. And so what does Mary's testimony teach us this morning? What does it teach us? If you're willing to sacrifice your reputation to establish God's reputation, watch this, then God's reputation becomes your reputation. Did you get that?
Watch this. If you're willing to sacrifice your reputation to establish God's reputation, then God's reputation becomes your reputation. Let me tell you how that works. I went to my 45th class reunion. It's around the 45th. I don't know what they're doing. They're having something every year now. I don't know. But we're hitting our 50s soon. I won't tell you when. Well, 5 years. 45. Anyway, so I went, you know, I go there. And so Craig Ryan, a good friend of mine, they were all there. You know, I was crazy. My name was Crazy Jim. I was just crazy. Get it? Getting arrested at school and doing all kinds of crazy things. I lived with my brother. I was living on at 16 and 17. I had a car, my own apartment. So you can imagine that, high school and not being saved and being a crazy thing. Anyway, Craig Ryan looks at me and he had a couple of beers in his thing. And he looks, you know, Jimmy, I got to admit, when we heard you were a Christian, you were going to Bible school, nobody believed you. He said, but now we do after 40 years. Amen. But what does that mean? God's reputation became my reputation. Are you with me? And Mary's reputation became God. The sacrifice of Mary's life became the sacrifice of Jesus' life. Now, don't miss this. Watch this. This is so good. Don't miss this. Verse 29, it says, but when she saw him, she was troubled. Can you say troubled? Now, what does that mean? Troubled in the Greek means disturbed, to be disturbed with alarm. And think about this moment. And how does this relate? What does it say to us? Watch this. Because some of you may be facing a dilemma. Some of you, you know, God may have promised something to you, and you, all you're seeing is nothing but interference and a stuff that's coming against it, you know, and you're like, what? Because watch this. Let me say it again. Mary was troubled. Trouble means to be disturbed with alarm, and you could be facing that. Watch this. Sometimes the beginning of your miracle just doesn't make sense. Did you hear that? Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Think about this. Just because you're not hearing from God, you're not seeing the hand of God move, that doesn't mean that God is not in control. If you're praying and you're believing, you submitted your will to God's will, I want to tell you something. God will always come through. Why? Because nothing is impossible with God. Give him a shout. Sometimes the beginning of your miracle just... Even when things don't make sense, listen to this. God will use our human unexpected situation, watch this, to establish his divine strategic plan for our lives. Let me say it again. Even when things don't make sense, God will use our human unexpected situations to establish his divine strategic plan for our lives. Even us being here, you know, today, me being here and preaching and ministering, I wasn't expecting Pastor Pag to call me and sit with him, you know, and talk. Actually, I was sitting with Pastor Pag and just kind of doing a mentor thing through my trial and my journey in the last couple of years. And then I get a phone call, I want to meet. And then he presents this possibility. Do you understand that? I was at the, Bermitti Catering Hall, and we were there, set up breakdown for 3.5 years. But you know what God did? God honored our faithfulness. Hallelujah. And let me, even though you go through trials, even though I went through trials, I want to tell you something. We never stopped ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. We'd be at Home Depot, here, there, and God honored that. And God opened this door, hallelujah, to serve him at this season in our lives. Sometimes it doesn't make sense, but miracles don't come the way you expect them. Mary learned a divine lesson. Watch this. We need to learn as well in dealing with intense, serious trials. Watch this. Trials without God will break you. Trials with God will make you. Come on, that's good. Trials without God will break you, but trials with God will make you. Hallelujah. Mary also learned the will of God will never take you to where the grace of God will not protect you. Let me say it again. The will of God will never take you to where the grace of God will not protect you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. If you're going through it, God will take you through it. Amen? And how did Mary learn this? Mary didn't put off till tomorrow what God was asking her to submit and surrender today. She went with haste. Amen? And the sacrifice you make today, watch this, prepares you for your miracle tomorrow. Come on, amen? The sacrifice you make today prepares you for your miracle tomorrow. Mary chose to surrender her will to God's will and was ready, watch this, to expect the unexpected, to expect divine delays, to expect seasons of setbacks. And don't miss this. She was always, and understood this, she was expecting God to come through. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Our submission to the will of God and willingness to surrender our family to God, you will raise up a miracle maker in your family. We looked at the submission of Mary's will. We looked at the sacrifice of Mary's life. Let me give you the third attribute of Mary's miracle maker motherhood. Number three, and I end with this, the song of Mary's heart. Remember, the submission of Mary's will, the sacrifice of Mary's will. Now let me bring it home and talk about the song of Mary's heart. Praise God. The song of Mary's heart became the song of Jesus' heart. Did you notice that I coupled that on every attribute? Do you see how valuable Mary was? You know, how many here saw the Passion of Christ? And you see any of the movies, the greatest story ever told, you see Mary. Mary's there. Amen? How awesome is that? Now, the song of Mary's heart became the song of Jesus' heart. Question, what is Mary's song? Now, it is recorded in verses 46 to 55. Watch this. It's known as Mary's hymn of praise. In fact, it's called the Magnificent. Do you know that? It's called the Magnificent. We have labeled it. We have called it. It's so powerful. And from the first word of the hymn in the Latin Magnificent, it says this. Anima, this is in Latin, magnificent anima mea dominion. And that means my soul magnifies the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. What does Mary sing about? Just think about what is she singing about? Hallelujah. Think about what she was singing about. She was singing about what God was doing in her life. And what does she sing about? What, you know, and why is the song in the Bible? Mary's song is in our Bible because God not only birthed a Savior in her womb, He birthed a song in her heart, rejoicing that she was chosen to be a mother of the Savior. Hallelujah. And don't miss this. Amen. Don't miss this. Every person here that is saved, you have Jesus in the womb of your soul. We have something to sing about. We have something to shout about. We have something to share about. Come on, somebody give Jesus some praise. Hallelujah. Now listen to Mary's song. Let me read it to you. This is Mary's Magnificent. Luke 1:46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts." Listen to this. "He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. And He has spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, to his seed forever." That's the song of magnificent. Listen, how does this affect us on the inside? How does this song, and how does this song that God gives us, how does it produce a response in our heart for you and mine? Watch this. Mary's song was a song of rejoicing that she was chosen to be the mother of a Savior. Amen? And Mary's song was knowing that salvation was coming to a sinful world. And Mary's song was a song knowing that her family was going to make a difference in this world. And Mary's song was a song knowing she was raising up a miracle worker. And don't miss this. The song of Mary's heart became the song of Jesus' heart. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout. I'm here today because of the song of my mother's heart. Because of the song of my mother's heart. My mother was going through so much. Sometimes I'll share the whole story. But we had a crazy family, amen? And And my mother had a mental breakdown. My mother was in South Brunswick Hospital in a mental ward 5 times. My father was in Pilgrim State 5 times. Think of that. 9 of us. Most of us got arrested, messed up on drugs and everything. And then, you know, my father became a 100% disabled vet. I'm the youngest. My sister Joanne's next. And everybody, a lot of them were married, and Diane and everybody else was in the family. We lived in Rockville Center at the, in Osborne Place, in this house that we all lived in, 11 of us. Think of that. And what happened was, because of the breakdowns, and my dad was in Pilgrim State, he was just, like I said, he was just awarded 100% disabled vet. So they got a retroactive check from the military, being a disabled vet. And they went to the psychiatrist, and here's what the psychiatrist said. I remember the psychiatrist said this, you have to move out of there. You gotta leave all the rest. Just take Jimmy, your 2 youngest, and move to Florida. Buy a double wide home and move to Florida. I remember during this transition and all the other stuff that was going on in our lives, that my mother would sweat. She would smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day. She had the marching syndrome. And she had ulcerated face and just matted hair, and she would just take her pills and go to bed and come down. She would sweat and I used to walk by my friends. I would even take the cigarette out of her mouth and flick it for her, stick it in. I'd laugh with my friends. Meanwhile, I was crying inside. I loved my mother so dear, but I didn't know what to do. But I got to tell you what I heard. My mother, with her state of mind, used to dribble a scripture. She would say, "My cup runneth over," almost dripping out of her mouth. "My cup runneth over." It used to infuriate me because I knew we were cursed. I used to say that to my mother. "Stop saying that, Ma." And my little Catholicism, I kind of knew like that means like the blessings of God. "Ma, we're cursed. We're cursed. How can you say that? My cup runneth over." And then one day my mother went up into the bedroom to take all her pills to kill herself. I don't know what time it was. I would imagine it was some in the evening. We had this old 13-inch television with rabbit ears, remember? And the aluminum foil around it. You know, 5 channels, remember that? Amen? What do we have? 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, 13, 21 for the Puerto Ricans or the Spanish people, remember? And my mother went up in her bedroom to take all of her pills, and the TV was on. And guess who else came on? Billy Graham. Billy Graham was preaching the gospel, and my mother heard, and he said, "You could be born again, you could be healed, surrender your life to Jesus right now." My mother fell to the floor in her mental state and listened to Billy Graham. My mother stayed in that bedroom for 10 straight days. All of us are going crazy upstairs, downstairs. We don't know what's happening. I often tell people, behind the curtain, come on somebody, behind the curtain of your trouble, God is always working something out you just can't see. And on the 10th day, my mother stepped out of that bedroom and was born again and healed for the glory of God. And I could say I'm here because my mother's will became Jimmy's will. Come on, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. Mary knew Jesus was her miracle, and she was determined to make him a miracle maker. Look at John 2:1, and we'll see Mary's coaching Jesus. You ready for this? This hit me last night. You know it. Listen to how important the authority Mary had over Jesus. And I saw it last night in a different way. I preached about this. You'll know what I'm going through. It's when Jesus turned the water into wine. And you know the story. But what hit me last night is how significant Mary was. And don't get me wrong. This is his first miracle recorded. Am I right? You know that. On the 3rd day, there was a wedding in Cana at Galilee. And the mother of Jesus, we know as Mary, was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not come." Watch Mary. Watch what Mary says. She didn't receive that. You know what Mary says? This is it. This is the exact same. His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says, do it." And I see Jesus like, Mom. Come, Mom. I don't know. I don't know what he's, but I'm thinking, Mom, come on. You really want me to do this? Maybe, I don't know. You know he was fully man and fully God, right? We know that. I mean, could I kind of go to a limb? Maybe this was his first miracle and he was dealing with humanity at the time. Go, I don't know if this is going to happen or not. God, is this my, I don't know if this, I don't know if I got it yet. Are you with me? But Mary knew he had it. Because mommies always know. Mothers always know. Hallelujah. And what happened? Jesus said, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Can I say something? And you know what happened. It was the best wine. Filled to the brim. Jesus always fills us to the brim. And he always gives us the best. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give God some glory. Come on. Mothers always know. In 1 second, they could see an eyebrow that's off and say, are you all right? Am I right, moms? 1 second, you could see. They'll look at a wrinkle on the side of the head and say, what are you going through? Nothing, Mom. Oh, yes, you are. Because your pain is her pain. You know? Her will is your will. And this morning, remember what I said. Expect the unexpected. Expect divine delays. Expect seasons of setbacks. But expect God to come through. Mary had a tough time, but she trusted. Just think of her. She had to probably train Joseph too, right, Mom? Especially when they were looking for directions. You know Joseph, he's not going to ask for directions. You know how we are. We know where we're going. And had Jesus too. Think about that. That blew me away last night. Just thinking about 12 years old, he came under. His will became his mother's will. His will became God's will. And 21 years later, he's 33 years old. He's in Gethsemane. And not my will, but thy be done. Can you take this cup from me, Father? But not mine, but thy be done. Amen? I want to pray for you, but I've asked Pastor Diane to come and pray. And she's Pastor Diane. I just want you to share your heart and pray for all moms, however, and then we have people who are gonna give these gifts out, amen. The microphone. It'll come. There you go.
You know, if you're a mom, you're not just a mom or a mother, you're a mama.
Yeah.
Amen. And I think every mom here knows what I mean. You prayed for them, that child, inside of your womb before they were born.
Yeah.
And you never stop praying. You never stop praying. You carried them when they were just being formed in your womb. And you still carry them.
Hallelujah.
What your age is. Amen. I have 4 sons, and I still feel like I'm carrying them through some things.
Yeah.
I'm praying for them.
Yeah.
We all know that. When we become pregnant, God gives us a mother's heart. And that is so beautiful.
Yeah.
That heart to God. And we meet with God for our children. Anointed,
yes,
for our children. Never give up, mamas.
Oh.
Never, ever give up.
Yes.
Your children will need you until you take your last breath.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Father, I want to thank you, God, for creating a woman. And Father, for the seed. Lord God, planting the seed within her very being and giving us the opportunity to carry.
Hallelujah.
As that baby is forming. And then giving birth, holding that baby in our arms, God. Father, we still embrace our children, whether they are men or women.
Yes.
But they must be before Him. And the sound of our voice for our children goes before Him. Remember, He is a parent because God calls Himself Father. And He calls each one of us that have given birth Mother.
Yes. Yes.
And our sons and our daughters call us mamas. God bless you all today, each mom. Sometimes when you're praying for one of your children, maybe give another mom a call and say, would you join with me in prayer? And be blessed.
Yes.
Be blessed. And may your children be blessed. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Can we have you get in your positions? Could I have all the moms to come up here? Please, just come on up. And if you're, maybe you don't have a child at this time or whatever, come on up because you're a mother to somebody. And we want you to just come up. And we have a little gift for you. And Miriam ordered these and it has a scripture on different scriptures on them. And we're going to have hand out one of these, just one to each of you. Pastor Pag, I'm going to save one for you and one for me because Miriam had this full of ice and it looks so good. And I said, if there's two extra, we got this. I have a hard time drinking water. I don't know why, but... So, thank you for the prayers. And as the Word says, and as we shared this morning, you're miracle makers. You are miracle makers, you know, and you know, your sons and daughters, maybe there's some of them are going crazy, running out there around, you know, your testimony, Mom, you just keep praying. You just keep praying. My mother held on to Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Says, believe in the Paul said this, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and your household. Remember, Paul said that to the prison warden, the prison guard, the warden, and his whole house was saved. Hallelujah. My whole family is saved. And has flown all the way down to children and children's children and cousins and just flown. We broke the curse. Amen. And it's righteousness now. So, Lord bless you, moms. We love you and we're thankful for you. Come up and get one and take one and God bless you. The cafe is closed today because we want you to just go right home and enjoy your day with your family. We love you. Bless you.